Thank you, Lord. Well, let's look on your sheet there. We started a series several weeks ago called Seek First the Kingdom. And we are talking about finances. But you know, right at the beginning here, you just get into, we've just been on, when you talk about it, I don't know, we've just been stuck on just lordship of Jesus. Because it doesn't, you can talk about finances in different facets, but if you don't, if you're not doing what the Lord told you to do, then the other things concerning finances really, they're almost moot. You can't really do and flow in what God would have us to flow in if we're not doing what He would have us to do. Is that too simple? You know, there's a whole lot of people that blow right past this. They want to say, well, God bless me. God help me. God, I want to believe that you're going to prosper me. And yet, they won't go and just hook up with what He's told them to do. How that to me, that is such a simple concept that if God has told you to do something, that you do it. And if He is the God that we believe and say and profess that He is, everything else is going to follow. Because He is already, because He is the God who's more than enough. And so we've been talking about this. Let's read in Matthew 6:24. We're not going to read this whole verse. It says in verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money." Verse 31, skip down there, it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Okay, I'm going too fast. Go back up to verse 25. Says you can't. Verse 24 says you cannot serve God and mammon or money. Verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Is it? Is life not more than that?
Yes.
Do you believe it? We're here, what? For people get to the point where if all you're looking at is the natural, they say, what are we doing here? Right? Because at some point, you do enough things and you go through and you can have some success, but you're like, whoa. You get to the next step. Because see, when something's out in the distance, you can think, well, when I get there, that'll make me happy. But after you've lived long enough and you keep getting to the theirs and you realize it's pretty much my choice whether I'm happy now. Because how many of you know, there's something out in the future, you think, ooh, when I get to that point, then I'll be happy. And you get there and you realize, yeah, this is nice, but it's not lasting happiness. Marriage won't do it for you. Having children won't do it for you. Graduating from college won't do it for you. Getting your first job won't do it for you. Getting a promotion won't do it for you. You know, getting that car that you want won't do it for you. Getting that new phone won't do it for you. Getting the new laptop won't do it for you. You know, video game, none of that will do it. It might make you feel good, don't get me wrong, for a little bit, but it's not going to stay. And so if you're constantly looking out there, you know, taking over that business won't do it for you, buying, you know, reaching your first million, it's not going to do it. We say, surely. No, it won't. How do you know? Because the Bible says it won't. You can't look to things. You can't get happiness out of things. And so if you've gone through this enough and then you get to the point, like some people they do, they just get like, what is the point? Because if you still think something out there is going to make you happy, at least you're like, well, maybe when I get there. But if you've gotten to a few theirs and you realize, this ain't going to make me happy, now what do you look to? You're going to say, what? You see this? People that are so-called have it all. People that are famous for various reasons commit suicide. Why? People look to them and they have everything that somebody, naturally speaking, would think they would need to be happy, quote unquote. Money, fame, looks, whatever. And they think, surely, they got it made. And then they kill themselves. So how does that add up? Where they get divorced, they have a complete wreck of a family. How does that compute? It's a lie. It's a deception. It's a mirage. It's out there, but you think when I get there, there'll be something, but then there's nothing. So no, life is more than just what we're eating, what we're drinking, you know, where we work, all that. It only has significance when you start to know the one who created you. You start to know your purpose in life. You start to get hooked up with him. And instead of you driving the ship, or it's driving, you start saying, God, what do you want me to do? And then everything has significance. Because you're in the service of the Almighty. And you know you're in his hand. And boy, now the grass is a little greener and the flowers smell better and the skies were. Why? Because you know the one who created those. And you can get up and it can be raining outside. You can still know that God is still in control. He's still over everything. And you can just love life. People look at you and go, why? What do you have to be happy about? They could look at something going wrong in your life and you know the one that can handle anything that's going on in your life, so you can still be happy. Because happiness is not a passing, happiness may be an emotion, but just when you look to him and make a decision that you're going to let the joy of the Lord be your strength, then you can keep going in life and you can just enjoy it. That's true happiness, true joy. So no, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, those without God, those outside the family. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You seek first him, the things follow. It's the way it ought to be. You seek the things, you already got everything out of whack. And if you have it out of whack, every part of your life is going to be not quite where it needs to be. Why? You're starting off wrong. You're off on the wrong foot. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Look at that in the New Living Translation. Just trying to recap a little bit and go forward. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So don't worry about these things, verse 31, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father knows, or already knows, all your needs. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He already knows how many of your needs?
All.
Well, sometimes, you know, you have these thoughts. Well, what about God? What about this? Where are you? That's a wrong question every time. That is never a valid question. God already knows how many of your needs?
All.
Jehovah Jireh, the God who has seen ahead and made provision. So if you think you found something that caught him by surprise, you're thinking wrong. And the devil will help you think wrong. He's the one that, whenever you have a question, well, what about God? What's doing this? Ask yourself, where is that coming from? Where you think it's your mind? Well, it could be your mind, but your mind's trained wrong. But the devil, the enemy, will help you plant thoughts. He'll ask you, where is God? Where is this going to come from? And when you hear that, you just have to say, even if it's yourself, who said that? Who asked that? Because it's a wrong question. It's not valid. It's a lie. Because God already has seen ahead, and he's taken care of everything. So what we ought to do is start going, God, I know that you've already taken care of. Where do I need to be, and how do I need to adjust? Because I know you already have what I need. Am I in the right place? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I looking at the right thing? Is this the right plan? But not where is he? That's just the wrong thing, because he did not. Somehow he's just out to lunch, right? Well, he forgot your thing. That's wrong. It's easy to see that when like in a setting like this. Well, yeah, I understand that. No, it's not here. It's when you're facing something, you need to know if you hear that, it's wrong. Period. Period. All the time. It's never him. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's see. We're going down here. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Philippians 2, 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Everybody there? Philippians 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind is that? "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." That's a little bit vague sometimes when you read it like that. But that means the way it's saying there is he did not consider it something to be grasped or to held on to. So like they say it there, like robbery, like to you could take something, grab it and take it. He's not saying, what it's saying there is Jesus didn't consider just to be equal with God. He didn't consider it something just to be held on to, but he came to the earth, made himself of no reputation, the next verse says, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So in other words, he came, he didn't say, "Well, I'm God and there's no way I'm coming to earth like a man. And I'm just, that's beneath me." He didn't hold on to that. He freely came and he humbled himself, the Bible says, and he came to earth in the likeness of a man. Do you realize how much different that is, who he is and what he did? He's God. Okay, he is the creator. He's the Almighty. The most powerful being in the universe. Yet he humbled himself, came to earth in the form of a man, a created being, in the form that you and I have. See, I don't think we really understand the difference there. God Almighty coming in the form of a man, like you and I. That is a he didn't think, "Well, no, that's beneath me. I'm God all after all." That's what that's saying. He didn't consider it like something to be held on to. "No, I'm God and there's no way I'm going below this." He said, "I am laying that down to come." And what? Why did he come? He came for us. Why did he come for himself? No. He didn't need to be saved. He came for you and I. So he saw us and said, "No, that's not beneath me. I'm going to come and be just like them. That's the only way I can redeem them. I'm going to walk on the earth just as a man, and then I can redeem them. I can go and give myself for them as a sacrifice, and I can redeem them and buy them back. He did not say that was too low for him. And what does the Bible say in verse 5? It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now look at, it says then in verse 6 and 7, what we just read, he made himself in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, why? Therefore, because he humbled himself and became obedient, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those of earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he came and he humbled himself. And he did what he needed to do, what the will of God the Father was. Let's go over to Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 39. Everybody there? It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Verse 42, it says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, evidently, his flesh, he had to put down his flesh to do what God asked him to do. Jesus. God, and notice, he's speaking to God the Father. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Not my will, but yours be done. Is Jesus struggling with something here? He's pushing against something here. He knew full well what this meant, what he was going to do. And it doesn't say he was doing backflips about it. It said, what did it say in verse 44? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He is pushing against something to do the will of the Father. The Bible says he humbled himself. He's not doing this for himself. He's not doing this to get some natural pleasure out of this. He's about to go get crucified. He's about to go through excruciating pain. Why? For you and I. What did we just read in Philippians? Let this mind be in you that was in Jesus. What mind? That he would humble himself and put himself in a position for us. Well, we're to put ourselves, do the same thing that he did, put ourselves in a position. Why? Now we're bowing our knee to him. But he's a good leader. He's not one of these leaders that says, Do as I say, not as I do. Right? He showed the way. And it was much higher than any you or I are ever going to be asked to do. He's already saved the world. The world. The world. All mankind has already been paid for by him. Billions. He took that on him. He was the only one that could do it. So he paved the way. He did the heavy lifting, if you want to say it that way, okay? You talk about heavy lifting. He took the whole world and bore it. Everybody's paid for. Whether they know it or not, they're already redeemed. They're paid for, but they need to know. How are they going to know? You and I are here so that they can know. And you and I are going to be given and have been given tasks and things to do to get that job done. That job is distributed among the whole body of Christ. Look over at just a few chapters back, Luke 9:23. Say, I thought you were talking about prosperity. I am talking about prosperity. True prosperity. Luke 9:23. It says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. So he said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. In other words, you're going to live for yourself. You're not actually going to gain life. Didn't say you're going to go to hell. Said you're not going to have true life. Jesus gave an example. He laid his life down for you and I. And as his followers, he's saying right here, we're to do the same thing. Verse 23, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, that would be a follower, right? Let him deny himself. Now, your flesh does not like to hear this, okay? Just settle it. Well, I don't like that. What of you doesn't like that? What part of you doesn't like that? Because your spirit's not the one that doesn't like that. If you check inside, your spirit's saying, yes, that's what I want to do. Whatever God tells me to do, whatever my Lord says to do, that's what I want to do. That's what your spirit is saying. Okay, your flesh does not work that way. Your flesh says, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what you want me to do. I really don't want to do what God wants me to do. Now, if I feel like it, I might do what God wants me to do. But if I don't feel like it, I won't do what God wants me to do. We'll just see how I feel. That's your flesh. So when your flesh says, well, I don't like that. When you have this thought, well, I don't like that. Always check what part of you doesn't like it. People say, well, I don't like that, you know, preaching. I don't like what that says in that Bible. What part of you doesn't like that? And who is helping you to try to not like it? Where did that thought come from again? Well, I don't like that. That just irritates me. Why would something irritate you? Think of it. If it's irritating you and you're a Christian and you're supposed to be at peace, why are you getting irritated? The devil irritates people. Strife irritates people. Your flesh gets irritated. But God, can you see Jesus going, I'm just irritated today. No. Hey, don't say that. Irritates me. Can you see Jesus doing that? No. So what is this when people say, I just don't like that, what that's saying, that just rubs me the wrong way? That's a warning sign. What is rubbing you the wrong way? Sometimes, and this is from experience, when you're getting rubbed the wrong way, you know what's really happening is that the truth is coming out. And the enemy does not want you to receive the truth. So he's going to poke you and say, I don't like that. I don't like that. That's just bad. That's wrong. And it's actually the truth that you need to hear. I'm not preaching at you. I've same thing on my side. And I was wrong. Sat out there being like, I don't like that. And you know what I realized? I was wrong. That was the word I needed to hear. And the enemy doesn't want you to get out of where you are. He doesn't want you to see the truth. He wants you to be blinded. So you know what he does? Try to get you to be offended and frustrated with the messenger. Or with the church. He hasn't changed. He does the same thing over and over. Why? Because it works. It's not that hard to get people out of their place. God specifically tells you to do something, and then, well, I changed. I don't really like it there anymore. You don't like it. So you have to go back to who is your Lord and what did he tell you to do? Because there are going to be some times where your flesh is not going to like everything. Just settle it. If you're going to follow Jesus in this life, your flesh is not going to do cartwheels every time in every area of life. There are going to be some times you're going to have to put your flesh down and say, shut up, we're doing it because God told us to do it. I don't care what I feel like, we're doing it. Now shut up. If you think that you're going to go through every part of every day and not be challenged, then I seriously doubt you are following God. You are wrong. Why? How can you be so bold? Because the Bible does not teach that. Look at every person that follow God. I'm not saying you're going to have just hardship and your life's going to be just a wreck. I'm saying you can have victory, but that's not the same. See, if you have victory, it implies you overcame something. Right? How many, sports teams go, we got the victory. It's the season starts next week, but we have the victory. Well, that's faith maybe, but it's not reality yet. You to be the world champion in anything, you have to win something, right? And they don't just roll over. The higher level you get, the harder it is. They don't say, oh, well, you want to be champion? Here you go. Let me get out of the way. I forfeit. And the enemy doesn't do that either. So you think, well, I'm just this great faith person, yet I've never had a challenge. Anytime I actually get hit with the challenge, I fold. I just say, well, that's too hard. Give me something easier. So you never go anywhere. You think, because what? You're going, you're thinking, if my flesh feels something like I don't want to be here, then it must be that I'm out of the will of God or something. That's not true. We just read Jesus. Was he in the will of God?
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. Yet he was sweating drops, his sweat was like blood. And it says he was in agony. Why? Because he was bound and determined to do what God told him to do. And if you're bound and determined to do what God told him to do, your flesh is going to have to change, is going to have to bow to Jesus, to your spirit, putting it down. And that's not fun. There's going to be some days you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, join the club. Days I don't necessarily feel like getting out of bed and coming to church. But you know what? I come. Say, you're the pastor. That's right. I'd be lying to you if I told you anything else. My flesh, there's times I look outside and go, your flesh, the first thought, if you listen to your flesh, goes, let's go to the beach. But that's not an option if you're going to follow. I mean, if you came and like, where's Jim? Nah, they took off today. Wasn't planned vacation. They just decided, we're going. We're out of here. Brother Hagin, if you've ever heard him talk, he said there was days. He seriously thought, nights. He was sitting there and he thought, I could go. I could get a U-Haul, back it up to the church tonight, be gone, and nobody would even know till the morning. I'd be out of here. Seriously. Yeah, your flesh doesn't necessarily go, yeah, I want to do this every day. But that doesn't mean your spirit doesn't want to. And we're not going to be led by our flesh. You have to say, flesh, I don't care what you say. We're getting up and going, we're going to like it. We like it. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. If you don't know who Smith, that's a funny name. I know if you haven't heard it. He was a preacher from England. And he was, you know, before Brother Hagin's time, Brother Hagin heard him preach and stuff. But he's a preacher of faith, saw great miracles. But he would say, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell him how he feels. You don't ask yourself, well, do we want to do this or not? You ask yourself that some days about, well, should we still do this? God told us, but should we? Your flesh is going to go, no, quit now, run while you still have the chance. Are we going to listen to that? No, not if you're going to follow Jesus. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't in that garden said, nah, not doing it. I'm out of here. I'm going. Huh? Aren't you glad? Well, let me tell you something. You're going to be glad someday. You're going to be glad here, but let me tell you something. You're going to be in heaven, and you're going to be glad you didn't do that if you follow through and do what the Lord told you to do. You're going to see the results of it. You're going to see the results of it here. Don't get me wrong. But you're going to see things, and we're going to see things from a different perspective and realize what was really going on so many times on this earth. The pressures we are feeling and stuff, and we realize they were nothing. Yeah. We are nothing. And we just know who we are. We take our place, and we learn not to listen to our flesh. Then we won't get pushed around by our feelings. We won't miss out on the place we're supposed to be. The verse 23, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, what? Deny himself. See, people have taken this, and they've gone, they equate denying yourself with not having anything financially. Those are not the same thing. God does not want you to be poor and destitute. He wants you to be well taken care of. You can be have every need met and be denying yourself. Did you know it? Yeah. Let me just say this. The grass is always greener on the other side. And it always looks really easy what somebody else is doing. Well, why can't I just be called to do what they're doing? That's a piece of cake. Let me tell you something. I've been around long enough to know if you were in their position, they're probably looking at you going, why can't I just be called? That looks so easy to do what they're doing. God will give you something that is what you're supposed to do, and it will grow and challenge you. We know some people that are in Malibu, California. They're called there, and we talk to them. And that's not their first choice. They would much rather leave, but God won't let them leave. And most people would say, what? Are you crazy? No. I'm serious. That's the way you say, well, I wish I was just up there doing this and such in front of so many people. Careful what you wish for. You don't, you think, well, I deal with it. No, you don't. We don't know what it's like to walk with somebody else. God, it's the same thing. God is going to ask everybody to deny themselves. And if you think somebody else's call looks so much better, it's because you don't know what's all entailed with it. If you would spend a few days what they're dealing with and what they're walking through, you might change your mind and say, thank God I'm over here. I'm going right back over here. I won't bring it up again. I'm good. You will be, just mark it down. There is no place and no call where you're not going to have to use your faith and it's just going to be easy. If in the will of God, that does not exist. Okay? If you just chalk that up and realize God loves you, God has your best interest at heart, and so you just do what he says and realize everybody is going through the same types of things. They're going to have to put their flesh down. They're going to have to put their will down. They're going to have to go forward with what he has told them to do, and there is no best place. There is no easy place. It's just you do what you're told to do, where you're told to do it, and be happy doing it. If you settle that, then you can go through this life and serve God with joy. You don't have to look at anybody else. Why? Because you're not called to do what they're called to do. You don't have to worry about them. What you have to do is just make sure, am I doing what Jesus has told me to do? Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. You shut that down. Yeah, but you shut this down. Am I doing what Jesus told me to do? Where I'm supposed to do it? Now. That's it. You stay in your lane. You get your blinders on like they do with the horse races. And you just run. You run till when? Till you're done. Till your race is over. And you can just go across that finish line, stretch out your chest, break the line, and go on with Jesus. And say, I did what I was supposed to do now. Where is this heaven that we've been talking about and hearing about? I want to go. I want to talk to some people. I'm done with earth. I've handed off the baton. Right? But you think it's just going to be a cakewalk, you're wrong. And the devil will use this to discourage you, because when you bump up against something that's a little bit uncomfortable, you're tempted to bolt. Well, this must not be the will of God. This is hard. Again, settle it. It's not going to be easy. That's not the same as being in defeat and not getting through. You come up against obstacles, but you say, we already have this. We're going over. We have God. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have to press through. Not in your strength, not in your flesh. I'm not saying that. In His strength and in His power. But you have to know, you have to just gird yourself up and say, no, I will serve God. No, I will do what He told me to do. And my life, my body and my flesh is going to fall in line. And mine, you shut up too. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. And we're going to run hard. And we're going to run fast. I mean, in the speed that God would have us to do. You don't overdo it. You don't underdo it. You just keep your eyes on Jesus and you go forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is an encouraging God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Isn't God good? He is so good. He is so good. See, this is the foundation. You can't go off and decide you're going to do something else, and this is your plan to make money or to seek fame or to, you know, whatever, break a record, set a world record in something. If you do any of those things, it ought to be just a byproduct of you saying, God, what do you want me to do? And keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, and all you're doing is running the way you're supposed to run in your lane, and then these things come. But if you seek that, any of those things, you're automatically wrong. That's not the way. And true, when we're talking about prosperity and finances, we are focusing on money. But money is just a means of exchange. We're talking about you being completely whole and you having all your needs met. You don't seek it. You can't have what we read in the first verse. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve them both. So before we go into the next part, you have to settle this right here. Are we going to serve Him and do what He tells us to do and do it regardless and put our flesh down? And then now, if you say yes, now you're qualified for the rest of what we're talking about. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you don't settle that, that all these things shall be added to is moot. You're basically saying, I'm not going to serve Him, so what ground are you on? Pretty much the ground that the world's on. Because they're not serving Him either. And if you're not going to allow Him to have a place in your life, and yet you think He's just going to dump on you just because, then to be just, He has to do that to everybody. Right? If He's going to be a just God, then people that aren't letting Him in and not serving Him, they're going to be just as blessed as the people that are. That's not true. Is it? No, I didn't say Jesus didn't provide for it, but if you're not going to allow Him and yield to Him, this whole verse we're talking about is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added, right? Correct. So that's where we're going. That's what we're talking about. But we have to get this settled right here. And that's why we've been, you know, I wasn't intending to set on this for several weeks. But like I said before, you can't just get into what you want to get into. This is what we're dealing with. We can't go to the next thing unless we're here, unless we've gotten it. Okay, yes, I'm in. I'm going. Lord, whatever you want, whatever you need, I'm there. Now you're qualified. Now you can start talking about the rest of it. And we're going to be talking about certain things, I believe, that are all part of that. That they line up once you say, yeah, everything is His. Everything that I have, I've yielded myself. So then I can take the steps and be in the right place and doing the right thing. And yeah, these other things are byproducts. That is the true order. That is the right mentality. Awesome. Amen.